You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
I want to publicly thank Andy Becker for his wonderful job presenting two very challenging sermons in my absence. I want to also explain some things while I have the time here. Last week's slides, there was a slide issue in more than one way. I want to take full ownership of that slide issue. In the hurry up of getting everything ready for vacation, I missed a song. So you were singing. Judy did a solo last week because I told her that she had to because there was no words. So my apologies to everyone that caused an issue with, but I'm thankful you were able to see past it. So I just wanted to lay down on that nail and let you know, comes back to me, my apologies, and it will be straightened out. So today we continue with our sermon series in the book of James. We'll talk a little bit later about what we've learned so far today. But this morning I want to talk about the gentleman that will be up on the slide here. It's Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi was the coach of the Green Bay Packers in the 1960s. He was the coach of them, and Lombardi, as you know, was big on mastering the fundamentals of football. He wanted to make sure that his team blocked, tackled, and all the basics. One day, the Packers suffered a humiliating defeat by a team that never should have even beat them. But they did, and they whooped them. Lombardi called a meeting for the next morning. With apprehension, the players gathered in the clubhouse, expecting the dressing down of their careers. Finally, the coach appeared, and the room fell silent. Lombardi picked up a football, just like I have in my hand this morning, and held it up before the room full of professional players who were making more money than Lombardi was playing the game. Then he said something like this: "Gentlemen, this is a football." Turning to the blackboard, he drew a large rectangle, and this is a football field. And at the end of that field is a goal line. And when you carry the ball across the goal line, you score 6 points. Highly offensive. Yet he's right. When we forget the fundamentals, we forget that this is a football and that when you go across the line with this, you score 6 points. And when the kicker kicks it through after you score the 6 points, you make 1 point. Or if he kicks it through and he didn't score the 6 points, you make 3 points. It's the fundamentals of the game. The church is the same way. When we get away from the fundamentals, when we get away from the Word of God, what happens is that we have to sometimes be reminded by someone standing up in front of us and saying, "Gentlemen and ladies, this is the church. This is what we are to be about." And James is doing that a little bit here in James chapter 1. Sometimes we just need to get back to the basics or the fundamentals, whether in sports or personal relationships, the world of business, or in our spiritual life as disciples of Jesus Christ. Fundamentals are important in all areas of life. Let me read a few of them that I came up with in the past week. Marriage, being healthy, diet, and exercise. Fundamentals for me in preaching. You got to project your voice. You can't just go in that day and open the Bible and say, "Let's preach a sermon." Some do. It's dangerous because it's important. The Word of God is important. In James 1, today he's dealing with the fundamental rules that will be extremely beneficial to your spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth will blossom if you practice these fundamentals. If you don't, I can't promise anything. I am amazed at how James gives us three fundamental rules and does it in 9 words. Actually, less, because there are some repeated words, but nonetheless, it's impressive. So let's see some context. It'll be up on the screen for you, I guess. How to respond to trials and tests. That's what we talked about up until today. How they develop steadfastness and maturity. Then he made a distinction between trials and tests and what? Temptations. Remember, God is not a tempter. He would not be a good father if he was the one putting temptations in front of you. He cannot tempt because he is a good, good father. Then James says, he brought us forth into a new life by the word of truth. And we talked about, before I left on vacation, we talked about the word of truth being the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the word of truth? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. He is giving you the nutshell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, we're not playing games here. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one else can take the place of any of those three points. And if they do in your life, then you are not following the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we come to these three rules. And here's the three rules. I'm just going to list them off for you real quick. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. When you hear them, you usually think of what? This. You think of human relationships. You notice the arrow on the screen is going across. So you think of when it says quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. My wife's sitting up on stage with me, so this is a perfect example. So you think it's about me and how I treat my wife, right? That's exactly what we come to this scripture passage, and we think about how we treat each other here at Faith Church. We think about how we treat the praise team, how we treat other people, slow to angry, slow to become angry, slow to speak, and quick to listen. But in the context of James, there's some commentators that have brought up a good point, and here's that good point. Next slide. Up and down is important as well. Because you see, if you aren't doing a very good job with being slow to speak, slow to become angry, and quick to listen with these people, your vertical relationship is going to be affected. James is talking to a group of Christians that face some of the same similar things you're facing today. And he says it in the context of, remember, what did he end the last time I spoke with? He ended with the good, good father gives good gifts. Praise him for those good, good gifts. So the context here is the father. How do we treat the father? Because if we don't treat the father, being quick to listen to him, slow to speak to him, and slow to become angry with him, how do we expect to treat those around us that way? Can't. So look for that in the scripture as we walk through it this morning. Here's what James is driving at. This will be on the next slide. This is about a posture and an attitude that you must have with others and with God. And this is your first blank on your sermon outline that was handed out to you this morning. This is about a posture and attitude that you must have with others and with God. I'm telling you, this is three fundamentals. This is James looking at his church instead of with a football saying, here's the Bible, folks. This is how we live by it. Like Vince Lombardi looking at those professionals who were, again, not making as much as the professionals today make, but making more than their coach and saying to them, listen, you remember, this is a football. This is what we play with. This is what we get across the goal line. This is James in his writing as a pastor saying, this is the Bible. This is what we drive to. This is what we follow. And if we don't follow it, then we are in sin. And things happen when we're in sin that we don't want to happen. And so Vince Lombardi and James are kind of on the same page here this morning. Here's the fundamental first rule, the first fundamental rule that will change your life. Number one, listen attentively. Look at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. I just want you to kind of stop right there for 1 second and notice what he says. And I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, but everyone in Greek and Hebrew means everyone. He doesn't say, well, if you have the education that somebody else doesn't have, you don't have to listen to them. Well, if you do this and they don't do this, then you don't have to listen to them. No, he says, everyone should be quick to listen. And this goes for every fundamental role, but I'm not going to say it under every fundamental role. Every fundamental role, James does not look at his congregation and break it up into groups and say, well, you people don't have to listen, but these people do. No, he says, everyone in the building, and those who will read it for years to come, everyone should be quick to listen. Listening is an issue, is it not? We are not talking about hearing. It's listening. Look, I have children, and many of you have had children, and I know that, you know, we always think our children are the perfect ones and everybody else's children have issues, but kids hear, they just don't listen, right? I mean, sometimes you can say something to a child, and I'm not going to pick on mine this morning because, you know, they did a great job this morning, but you can say something to a child, they can repeat back what you said, but they go and do something totally opposite. That's called, I hear, but I didn't listen. Marriage, husband and wives hear, but they don't listen to each other all the time. Except for us, honey, we're good. There was no amen after that, I'm scared. Even the hearing impaired listen through watching lips and hands, through sign language. But let's take a look at listening in general. Here's some four basic verbal communication skills we practice today. The first one is reading. The second one is writing. That today includes texting and typing. Number three is speaking. Number four is listening. So there are two for receiving information and two for conveying information. Here's how this breaks down for us statistically, though. 3/4 of our waking hours is in some form of communication. This is by professionals, people who are a whole lot smarter than me and have studied the entire human race. So if you don't agree with some of these statistics, take it up with them. Don't take it up with me. Here's the first statistic. 9% of those 3/4 of waking hours is spent writing. Now, that may have gone up some steady because of texting. You know, some of these surveys were taken before cell phones were prevalent, and so it could have gone up. 16% is reading. That's what we do. 16% of our time is reading. 30% is speaking. 45% active listening. Now, that active listening can be a radio, it can be a TV, it can be conversations, it can be whatever, but you are actively listening. Or you should be. For 45% of the 3/4 of your day, of your waking hours. But here's the rub. Studies show that Americans are poor listeners. I hope that's not shocking to you. Why? There's tons of reasons why. We aren't going through all of them now, but here's some. Here's the first one. You can think three times as fast as the other person speaks. So right now, as I'm speaking, I know you all aren't doing this, but you know, hey, maybe some of you are. You're thinking about, where am I going to go for lunch after the sermon? That sounds good. Maybe I'll go there. Or you're thinking about, I don't agree with that point, and so I'm going to keep that stuck in my head, and I'm going to continue to wrestle with that in my head while Pastor Brett is speaking. Because you can think 3 times faster than I can ever speak. So when someone is talking to you, you are only using 1/3 of your mental capacity. With the other 2/3, you're thinking about other things. What will I say when they're done? What about that college football game or that lack of college football game this year? What do I need at the store? Where am I going to go out to eat after church? What am I doing? Why am I even here? Is Pastor speaking to me this morning? No, he's not. He's letting the Holy Spirit lead him. But that is what you are thinking of. In the last couple of decades, technology has become an issue. On the next slide, Microsoft Corporation did a study, and they have concluded that in 2006, get this, The average attention span for an American was 12 seconds. Woo! That means pretty much when I started out by saying thank you to Andy Becker, you were done listening. In 2016, it gets worse. It was 8 seconds. Microsoft says this shows the effects of an increasingly digital lifestyle on the brain. Now, isn't that interesting coming from Microsoft, the leading technology group in just about the whole world? So technology, what we're saying, gets faster and we are getting slower, at least when it comes to listening. Here's the fun fact, though. Throw that bad boy up there. Everybody's been wondering, what's the attention span of a goldfish? 9 seconds. So they got you beat by 1 second. Go home and talk to your goldfish. He can listen for one more second than you can. Here's another reason why we are not good listeners, and it's in the form of some questions. How many of you were taught to write? Don't raise your hand, just think about this. How many of you got formal training in how to read? I got more than formal training. I had to go to a specialist to learn how to read and apply what I'm reading and actually understand what I'm reading, because I could read all day. You could ask me what the book was about after I was done reading, and I'd be like, I have no clue. And so my parents put me into special classes with an organization after school I went to and to learn how to read and actually grasp what I was reading. How many were taught how to speak? Here's one final question. And this one you can raise your hands on if you have. How many received formal training in listening? Very few. Very few. See the issue? We're not trained in it. Maybe we assume we have two ears and one tongue, yet we do more activity with the one than we do with the two. And me included. When it comes to God, we have a real issue. Because why? Well, because of our heart. If you don't have a new heart, you won't listen to God. In fact, you won't care to listen to God. Here's how Israel responded in Psalm 81, verses 8 through 12. Here's the words. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God, and who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their very stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. This is throughout the Old Testament. But then we come to the New Testament. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Then we come to this beautiful story in Matthew 17 of the Mount of Transfiguration. And you know the story and all the glory that was happening. And while this is all going on in verse 5, here's what it says in Matthew 17. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said this. This is God speaking on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Why did God have to say that? Because he knew. We'd be busy doing this, busy doing that, and not listening. One of the marks of those who are truly disciples of Christ are those who hear the voice of God. Then finally, we come to Paul talking to Timothy about the last days, which, by the way, we are in. Now you say, well, oh, here we go. No, because last days are the days from the ascension of Christ until his second coming. So we are in them. Are we in the last of the last days? That's for you to decide. But we're in them. And here's what it says about people in those days. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Here's the consequences of doing that. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. In essence, these people will go, I'm going to go where I'm not challenged by a holy God, but instead I want to believe what I want to believe and do what I want to do, and you know what? If I can't where I am, I'll find somewhere else where I can. I want everyone to believe what I want to believe, and I want that for everyone without consequence. It's going on in our world even right now. Heaven forbid you would stand up for the Word of God. Heaven forbid you would quote it. Heaven forbid you would ask someone to live by it. It's itching ears desire. Bentley, our dog, loves it when you sit next to her on the sofa and you grab her ear and you, not meanly, but you grab her ear and you just kind of rub the top of her ear. She looks like she's going into some kind of deep sleep. She just lays there and she wags her tail like, have I died and gone to heaven? That's the picture I get. I don't like it here because they don't itch my ears. So I'll go somewhere where they will itch my ears. All the while, they're falling for myths. Someone has asked me this past week, why would someone burn this? Why would someone take the Word of God and burn it? Because they don't believe in it. They've fallen for myths. To them, this is just another myth. What will we do with it? What does the church do with it? Do we follow it in what we do? Because if we're not following it, why should they? See, that's what Paul's talking about to Timothy here. He's saying in the last days, and as it moves farther and farther towards the last of the last days, there's going to be more of this. I'm just going to go where I'm not, I'm not trying. I've had this. I've had it. I've been told already by several people, not here yet, but it's probably coming, where I served before, that, you know what, Pastor, you challenge us too much. Oh, I'm sorry, did you want the guy that didn't challenge you and just let you stay in your sin? Because you hired the wrong guy. You challenged me too much, so I'm going down to the church down the street. Okay, go. I can't stop reading the Word and stop challenging. That's part of my fundamentals of preaching. Do you know when you send in quarterly reports, a lot of the times the bishop will get back to us, and one of the last words to him, to us all the time when we send in quarterly reports is this: Brett, preach the Word unadulterated. Don't change for anyone. That is what will bring saving knowledge. James is saying, put yourself in a posture that is ready to hear from God, even if it hurts. I don't want to just read to get what I want out of it, Lord, or to check off what I read the Bible today. I want to be deep with you, Lord. That's the call of James to his church. I don't want to just check it off and say, now if Pastor calls me today, or if I get run into somebody, I can say, Pastor, I did my devotions. I want to actually go deep. I want to learn from them. Here are some helps about learning from the Word of God from Kent Hughes. I don't think I put them up on the screen, but I will read them off to you. Work on listening to others. Really listen. You got to care about what they're saying deeply. If you can't listen to other people, listening to God will be an issue. Number two, limited exposure to media. I know that's tough, but that's what you have to do today. Number three, read God's Word thoughtfully. Number four, slow down. You can't listen going at 100 miles per hour. You can't. Prepare your hearts for Sunday morning. I believe that the Word of God is taught and it's God speaking. Church starts on Saturday night. Don't let the enemy twist you up inside for this time of worship. Because you know what happens? This doesn't penetrate a twisted heart. If you're so focused on what the enemy is doing, you're not focused on what God might be saying. Don't let him win. And he's trying to win. I mean, just go home and turn on the news. It seems like he's winning. Don't let him win in your heart. Also, in the sermon outline, I gave you an article on the art of listening to a sermon. It's helpful advice, and trust me, I've read it as well, because you think, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to listen to it. You're saying it. No, I still listen to sermons on the weekdays. I listen to some of my other brothers and sisters who preach, and I listen to them. And so I take those things that I put in your sermon outline, and I apply it to their sermons. I'm not above anything. I still have to be encouraged in the Word as well. Number two, speak minimally is the second fundamental, James says, as everyone should do. Speak minimally. Slow to speak in verse 19, the second half of it. It means be careful, rein in your words and guard your words so that your words aren't rash. Be thoughtful, thinking before you speak, whether to God or someone else. If you're doing the first point, listening more, guess what? This point becomes easier, because if you're listening, you shouldn't be talking as much. That's why James put quick to listen first, some believe. Listen, then speak. In Matthew 12, 34 through 37, it says these words, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in him." But here's the kicker in verse 36 that goes with our sermon this morning. "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." That's how powerful it is, what we speak and what we say. Here's the lesson under this point. If you want to hear God speaking, you need to be quiet and listen. And in order to do that, and here's where I took some heart issues this past week. In order to do that, you have to do a few things. Here's one. You have to stop justifying your actions. I mean, I sometimes get into a point where I want to listen, or I don't want to listen, I want to speak, and I want to get angry about something. And then God just kind of challenged me this past week. Stop justifying your actions. Stop saying, well, they did this, so I'm doing this. Stop it. No, you're not accountable for what they did. You're accountable for how you did it. That's what God's saying to me. Stop talking and listen. Stop telling God of your plans and let him speak his plans. Stop complaining about the situations in which you find yourself. Don't you do that sometimes? I mean, some of you, we got lucky. Not lucky, we were blessed. Woo, got to change that. But our basement got very little water in it. Some of you have been pumping water out and you say to yourself, God, if you let one more shower come down, we're going to have words. And it's easy to complain. And you have right to complain. Oh, you don't understand. We just get it cleaned up and then more water came. I get it. But we can't focus on that. And I don't think anybody has. I'm just giving that as an example. Because sometimes I get in those situations. Listen, this COVID-19 situation hasn't been the easiest for church. Like, you know, open, don't open. Take serious, don't take serious, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And then you have 16 different people on the TV telling you 16 different roles. What do you do? How do you, I mean, my wife looked at me on vacation at one point, and we tried not to talk church too much, but she said to me, she goes, you know, but Brett, the bottom line is you can't win. You can't win. You will not win with everyone every time, Brett. It made sense. And so you got to do what you got to do, and you got to do it, and you got to be passionate about it, and you, not to run people over, but you got to just love people and do the best you can and listen and stop justifying your actions. Yes, she can talk to me that way, and it's good. Speak minimally, and number three fundamental is this: fume discreetly. Fume discreetly. And slow to become angry. James 1:19 verse in the third part of that verse. James here is not talking about not a hot-headed, quick-tempered, or having a fiery spirit. No, the Greek word he uses is really an interesting word. He doesn't say those things. The word used is this. It conveys a deep, inner, settled anger, a bitterness. And here's the kicker about it. Excuse me. When you have a high-headed situation where, you know, and I have the kindic genes in me, and sometimes we do have those times when we just, whoo. When you have that, everybody sees it around you. You can't stop it. You're in a restaurant, and one of your kids does something, and you're upset by it, and so you say something to them, and you get hotter and hotter as the moment goes on, and everybody around you sees it. No, this is not what James is talking about. What James is talking about is one that you can hide real well. Man, I am bitter. In fact, one commentary says, This is one that you could come to church with for 40 years and nobody would even know it. Because you just hold it deep down inside and it just sits in your craw. And man, when things hit it, it blows up. But to the outside world, everything looks okay. That's the kind of anger James is talking about. But inside, something's going on in your heart. And it's not good. This may have to do with all the tests and trials of life beating you up to a point where you allow it to turn your heart against God. Now we relate it to today's world. In COVID-19, there's a lot of situations going on. There's a lot of stuff happening. And then you got an election on top of that. There's a lot of mess. And so the trials and temptations of life come at you, and instead of handling something that you could have handled very well before, you lose it inside. Because you got all the pressures coming at you. It's hard. Here's some examples that I came up with in my study. Good employee all these years, and that guy gets the promotion. You've all been there, I'm sure. I've done nothing but bust my tail, and this guy gets the promotion, and I got overlooked. I've been praying the same prayer. This is what you might be saying. Praying the same prayer for years, and it's like, you don't even hear me, God. You don't even think I exist. You know how I'm being treated, and yet you don't intervene, God. You knew I would lose my baby, so why did you even allow me to get pregnant, God? You didn't have to allow my mom or dad to get Alzheimer's, and yet here we are. There are all kinds of things that I could go on and on with a list that plant seeds in your heart that cause anger towards God. Don't kid yourself. It's anger towards God. Maybe it's things that God is touching on in your life, and he's saying, this has to go, and you're fighting him tooth and nail, my friends. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's your belief or idea. Maybe it's your lifestyle. That's the case with the rich young ruler. What happens when the rich young ruler has a run-in with Jesus? Jesus turns to him and says, here's this one thing I want you to do. Go sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And what does the rich young ruler do? What does the Bible say? He walks away sad. It's the exact same word that James is using here. He walks away deeply hurt, bitter. To the world, he looked fine. But he was hurting because God actually asked him to get rid of a certain part of his lifestyle. Same example. God actually asked me to change. Ooh, that hurts. Because like we all look at ourselves in the mirror, spiritually speaking, and we say, it happens for pastors. I'm just going to say it. Well, I'm not that guy out there preaching that untruth. Yeah, but you got this issue in your heart. God, can we please talk about that guy? Because he's off the mark. And you know when I preach, I do my study. Yes, I know you do your study. But Brett, you have this issue in your heart. No, but that God, see, God, I want to talk about that guy's heart. Because it's easier for me to talk about that guy's heart than it is for me to talk about my heart. And my hurt, and my pain, and my sin to my God. And that's what James is talking about to his church. Here's the deal, Faith Church. Sometimes when we go away sad, it turns to mad. I don't know. We don't hear the rest of the story in the Gospels when the rich young ruler walks away. You know, I wish there was a grand finale where he comes back, falls on his knees, sells everything, gives it to the poor. Who knows what he did, but there's a good chance that he walked away sad, and then it turned to mad. And then it sat in his heart. And he probably walked into worship in the temple with it. And everybody who sat or had interaction didn't even know. But yet God was tapping, tapping, tapping. This is probably why James concludes this section with verse 21, and here's what it says. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You want to know what the logistics of James chapter 1, verse 21, where he ends this part of scripture, then next week we'll talk about how he says to listen, and not just listen, but do and become a part of it. But here's what this is saying. He's saying it means to receive that word in submission. So therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, that even though you have a right to be upset, we all have rights. We humbly accept this word and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I gotta live by it. And so he says, that means to receive it in submission, the planted word, the gospel. What if we did this for the next 30 days? You can flip to the next slide, Bill. What if for the next 30 days, this is August the 9th, so whatever that 30 days would turn out to be, I'm not even 100% sure. I should have probably known that before I got in the pulpit this morning. But anyway, in the next 30 days, what if we tried hard, to, with others, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And with God, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'll tell you what I think will happen. I think it would change the culture of Faith Church drastically. I can only speak for myself. There are times when I'm listening and I want to rebuttal instead of just listening. There are times when I'm sitting in a situation and I want to speak and I don't need to. There are times when I'm in a situation, in a meeting or something like that, and you know, what you get is what you see. What you see is what you get with me. And there's times in a meeting where I need to be slow to become angry, and I'm not. And you know how I justify it? I'm a passionate preacher. I believe in this place. I'll tell you one of the reports that I put into Faith Church this past year, this past month, when we turned in our quarterly report. I'll tell you exactly what I told Bishop Bruce. I told Bishop Bruce, Faith Church has great potential to reach this entire neighborhood. And I believe in that potential, and I want to see that potential reached. And I do not want to be moved. I want to stay because I know the potential this place has because of the people that sit inside of it. And his words back to me were, Pastor Brett, I'm so glad you have that desire, because there are so many pastors just giving up on their people. Because we got to stop and we got to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. It will change your life. It'll change this entire place. And that's what James is talking about. What if you prayed this for yourself and others? What if you prayed this for your grandkids and your kids? Lord, would you instill in my kids and grandkids and friends that they will become quick to listen to God? Guard their words. And Lord, help them to not become angry with you and others. What if we prayed that? For 30 days. I'm not even asking you to do it for the rest of your life. I hope after those 30 days you'll say, whoa, this is kind of nice. I'm seeing some serious spiritual fruit. I might continue this past the 30 days. That's what I hope. But I can't make it happen. I can't even make it happen for the 30 days. Who am I kidding? Only God can do that. And so I ask you, in the bottom of your sermon outline, there's just this little blank there for you to put your name in there. And you're not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to have you come up, and it's not because of COVID-19. I think you ought to take it home with you so you can be reminded of it. Would you put your name in there? Would you say for the next 30 days, when it comes to my personal, to my life outside of church, and to my church life, and to my work life, and to my employees, and to my employers, and to my kids, and to my grandkids, I'm going to commit to three things, three very fundamental spiritual maturity marks. I'm going to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And remember, that anger isn't a high-headed blow up kind of anger. It's the anger that's just deep seated inside of you. It's just sitting there in your heart. I have it. I mean, how can you not have it? I said this to one of my brothers in ministry the other week. How can you not have it after being in the ministry for as long as we've had it? How can you not be bitter sometimes? I mean, you see, it's just powerful. Sometimes it sits in you and you just got to give it up. And that's what God has asked me to do through James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Give it up. It happened. It's over. You say, well, how does that work? I'll give you one example, then we're praying. I promise you. In 1 week of ministry, I've had this happen, and three or four of my brothers that were sitting together for breakfast had it happen too, a couple weeks ago. In 1 week of ministry, we had a person leave a church, not here, but this was somebody that had this happen, and I've had it happen in my years, so I'm just giving this as an example, because they were moving too fast. And they had this other family over here that left the church because they were moving too slow. How do you win? Talk about being bitter. wait a second, too fast? Too slow? What do? And after it's happened to you about 30 times, yeah, bitterness can settle in. That's why James is saying to the entire church, everyone, including the leadership, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's what he's asking for. And so my promise to you is in the next 30 days, I'm going to work hard at doing that. Like I tell my son, I'm not going to promise you that I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to need some grace. But when you're in that situation, remember those three challenges. Speak minimally. Listen attentively. And fume very little. Fume very little. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you at this time. If we're honest, Lord, the opposite of what James calls us to do is what we do. And I'm only speaking for myself this morning. Those that are out in front can talk to you on their own level. Lord, if we're honest, we're slow to listen. We're quick to speak. And we're very quick to become angry. Lord, would you help me as a pastor? Would you, Lord, help us as a congregation? Would you help us in our world outside of this church? That when we're sitting in that meeting, wherever that meeting might be, and we might be reminded of James' words to his church, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's fundamentals. This is the Word of God. It needs to be listened to. And Lord, what shameless situations I put myself in when I haven't listened to it. And I know I'm not alone in this room. And so, Lord, instead of looking at a TV where someone is taking this precious word and destroying it and being upset by it, I sometimes sit back in my living room and say to myself, what am I doing with it? Is it just sitting on my bookshelf? Or is it making impact in how I lead my family, my friends, and this church? I pray, Lord, that each word that is spoken today was honorable to you. I pray, Lord, that each word that was spoken will sit in people's hearts. And that, Lord, if it wasn't all 3 points, that one point will just maneuver and work in hearts here today. I'm thankful, Lord, that you say wherever your word is proclaimed, it does not come back void. And so, Lord, I plead for you to work in my heart over the next 30 days. Help me to do this promise, to do these fundamentals. As Vince Lombardi said to the Packers long ago, this is a football. May I, as the pastor of this church, say this is the Word of God. And we would be well to follow it, to challenge ourselves, to go deeper over the next 30 days. I pray, Lord, for each and every individual in here today, including me. And I ask you, Lord, to just help us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. Thank you for the ways you've been faithful, even in the midst of this mess. It is amazing to watch what you have done in spite of the situations that we find ourselves in. And we want to be careful to give you the praise because it's about you this morning. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.